Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This segment brought to you by Taco Bell. Introducing Taco Bell's new $5 cravings deal. A cheesy gordita crunch, five-layer burrito, crunchy taco, cinnamon twists, and a medium drink. All for just $5. We are live at Shoeless Joe's in Addison. Thanks to Dos Equis, Lover's Lane, and O'Reilly Auto Parts for having us. Bernstein and Goff are here. So kick off your holiday weekend with the score here at Shoeless Joe's in Addison. Rich Campbell covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. How's it going? Going today, Rich?
It's going great, guys. I got my voice back, as you can tell. Back in Chicago, flight to Detroit in about 2 hours.
Nice. Well, we just played your colleague Dan Wiederer and a clip with Dow Loggins about the insight into Mitch Trubisky's personality. We really enjoyed
good,
it.
Good.
What did you make of it, and how much of that have you gotten a chance to see, the uber competitive trash talking side of Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to see that a lot. I think that goes for just about everybody outside of the team. And that's why Dan's interview with Dal was so good. It was one of many reasons, is that, all right, open the window here and show us what this guy is all about. But the Bears have been very protective, guarded, when it comes to Mitch's exposure this year. He really hasn't done a lot of one-on-one interviews. And, you know, even for Dan's story in today's paper, you know, that wasn't a sit down with Mitch or anything like that. They've been pretty protective of him, trying to streamline his development. I'm not sure that has been to their benefit. I think I think there's a lot of value in Chicago getting to know what this guy is all about and who he is. And when we only get him, you know, at the podium twice a week, once after games, once on Wednesdays, we don't really get to see it, and we're left to rely on others' anecdotes. Let's see, you know, next season when he's more experienced, maybe if they're winning a little bit more, now that he's got a little bit more command, more assuredness, if they start to open the window a little bit more. Because I really think when you hear that type of stuff, you know, that the trash talking Dal or you know, the interactions with Mark Sanchez and Mike Glennon, all right, he's got some personality. Like, you know, this is good. This is going to play well here.
We've seen guys who have that, and it translates really well to his teammates, who are like, hot damn, I want that quarterback to feel that. I want him to think that. Do we have evidence of that? And does it only turn bad if he doesn't play well?
Well, the one example that we have was Josh Sitton talking to Green Bay media about Trubisky, you know, taking command of the huddle, you know, telling him to shut the heck up or, you know, more colorful language than that. So, yeah, you got to play well. That's part of it. You've got to, you know, really back it up with results. And we all know this. Leaders are the guys who play well. You know, and what the Bears have tried to do is make sure that their best players are their best guys. That was a big reason why the Bears got rid of Brandon Marshall, for example, because you naturally follow the best players, but do they have the characteristics that you want to follow? So Mitch has to establish himself, and games like last Sunday, that's why they're so meaningful, because he does start to materialize the good results, and it builds from there, right? It's a winning process. You become more entrenched as a leader. You've got ground to stand on, and we'll see if it comes out. From everybody you talk to who has worked with Mitch on back through high school, he's got it in him. He's got it in him. And, you know, rookie status, that there comes a certain etiquette with that, right? A certain quietness, certain humility. And as he gets established here, we'll be able to see him bloom a little bit.
Yeah, Rich, I hate the culture that football has around itself in terms of taking itself so seriously, and frankly that a lot of the media and I'm talking about more the opinion maker media, like our side, more than the straight beat reporting that you guys do, because I would imagine that the Bears would say to what you're saying right now, Jay Cutler had some version of a personality. Now, it wasn't likable at times, I understand that.
He did have a version of a personality.
But you know what I mean? And because he wasn't good, he was crushed for it. Whereas some guys liked it and some guys didn't. So who are you kidding? It's not worth us. It's not worth it for us to let you in on that until we know if he's great or not.
Yeah, I get that. I would just say that the J comp doesn't necessarily fly because there was a lot of mean-spirited stuff. He didn't get guys to respond to him very well. And, you know, we've heard things that receivers were afraid of him, the way he would just go after them and stuff. But you've got to find that line. And, I mean, look, we all know people like this in our everyday lives, right? People you want to be around versus people you don't want to be around, whether it's negative energy, positive energy, that type of thing. I hear what you're saying. Bottom line, I think, in all of this is winning helps all of this stuff. You win, everybody's happier. Everything's more positive, and they just got to get to that point. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be some meaningful changes to try to get to that point over the next 3, 4, 5 months. And then we'll be able to see, you know, next September, starting then, where this heads in sort of the next chapter.
Rich, wondering if we will see, and hoping we will see, continued usage of the young guys that matter on the offense the way we did. Adam Shaheen, health permitting, being out there quite a bit, and Tariq Cohen in the slot, which opened things up for Jordan Howard going north and south. Oh my goodness, I enjoyed that. Will we see more of that, you assume?
Yeah, I do assume. And also, the way they used Tariq Cohen in motion last week, they were able to catch the defense's attention by moving Tariq before the snap, and it really opened things up for Kendall Wright. And so, all right, this is how it works, right? Get your weapons in spots that command attention and figure out a way to exploit favorable matchups that result from that. And Trubisky did a really good job recognizing a lot of this. And Dan highlighted that in his piece today. And it's worth restating that it comes with this level of trust that he's getting in Kendall. I mean, I really love the anecdote of a third down where they're coming out of the huddle and Mitch reminds Kendall Wright, get your depth on this route, because Mitch knows Kendall repeatedly does not get good depth on that route. And then Kendall afterwards, after completion, thanks him for reminding him. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. I need to get my depth on that route. Okay, you know, that's the type of thing that allows Dow Loggins and the Bears to spread the ball around a little bit and to exploit some of these younger, talented players. I do think you hit on a really good point, and that is, for as euphoric almost as this Cincinnati game was last week, it would hold a lot more meaning if they build on it in a positive way, right? Like, you can't just have that be the one outlier, the anomaly. Build on it again, go on the road to Detroit, which is a hostile environment, and they're still playing for their season, and do it again, and then we can have a broader discussion about growth, development, and that extends beyond Mitch, obviously, to the other three rookies who had great games against Cincinnati.
Do you think they will build on last week?
It's hard to say. I was thinking about this in my head, and I think it's usually where I think about things, you know. And
good place to think.
Interesting.
About,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the point that I started with was, look, if the Bears rest on last Sunday, if they say, look, we did it, you know, we got this offensive game going and that was good enough for us, and then they don't show up, then this game could get ugly. I don't think the Bears are that type of team. They continue to play hard. And that was true in the Eagles game, and it's still true now. So I think you'll see great effort from them, and it'll be just a close game. It'll be a close game that comes down to plays like the last Bears-Lions. Can Mitch handle a snap, or does he put it on the ground and the Lions run it back? Can the Bears get an interception? Can they sack Stafford? That type of thing. So I think it's going to be a close, competitive game. I think we probably see similar signs that we saw against the Bengals, but the Lions are better than the Bengals. The Lions still have something to play for. The Bengals were decimated. They're an inferior opponent than the Lions in terms of caliber. So I think we'll see it, not as clearly, though.
You know, that's what I said off the top of the show today in terms of what I was interested in for the game, because if the only great showing is against Cincinnati, people will probably remember the caveats in the context of all the starters that were missing. And then next week is the Browns, who, if you look good, you're not going to get a ton of credit for. And then the last week of the season, Minnesota very likely could be locked into a first-round bye and maybe even a seeding at 1 or 2, and they might be sitting some starters in that game. So then there would be a caveat attached to that one, and it's a standalone game on national TV. So this is a chance for local and national perception to be changed a little bit going into the offseason, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that was one of the points Mark Sanchez made in today's piece, was that it can't all be about the wins and losses, because there's some elements to that that you can't control. And that seems kind of weird when we talk about this being a results-based business and that type of thing. But Sanchez, I think, makes a good point. You know, Mitch can only control what he recognizes. He can't control the fact that Vontaze Burfict was out last week. So if he's doing the right things, then eventually the results will show up. So let's see him do it again this week. If he is recognizing coverages or hot throws, that type of thing, then we're just going to start to see it bear out in the details over time. And then over time, you start to just raise the standard and you get over the bar more times. And we'll obviously get to see how well they do that with this receiving core and these sets of injuries, all of that context that we've talked about all year. But I think at least we get to this point after last Sunday's game, and you know he's capable. You know he's capable of throwing receivers open, regardless of who it's against. You know he's capable of sensing backside pressure and just feeling the rush and rolling out on that third down where he threw downfield to Kendall Wright. Okay, that's your new starting point. You've got to make sure you're not dipping back below that now. Steadily improve, and it just takes time, unfortunately. As much as we want to rush to judgment and make some solid conclusions, we just kind of have to let it play out. But when you see growth like that, and in particular from the Philly game where his feet were not good and his upper body was bouncy, to the last two games where he's been much more mechanically sound, I think that's as reassuring as anything that he takes to coaching, that he's improving, and that eventually the results are going to be there.
You hear that, Speaks? Let it play out.
Yeah, let it play out.
We have this segment, Rich, where it's like, okay, so, you know, are the Bears going to draft a wide receiver? Yeah, let it play out.
Yep.
We're just going to have to let it play.
We take the long view on it. It's not super compelling, but it's really honest. It's a very, very
honest. It's the most
honest
segment in radio.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, Rich, I want to ask you to think about something else in your mind, if that's all right.
In your head.
Yeah. And that's, you know, every time we talk about the Kyle Fuller contract stuff, it's like, does Kyle Fuller want to be here? What kind of experience has he had over the past 3-4 years?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And obviously, you're going to have to start with who's the defensive coordinator, right? What system are they running? Is this a scheme that's going to fit what he wants to do? He's going to have some options. I will say this. For as encouraging as Kyle Fuller's season is this year, the Bears are not going to erase the body of work that preceded it. You know, it's going to be all factored in. And the last thing they would want is to commit long term and then revert to some of the problems that the two sides in this union had for the last two seasons, whether it was injuries or, you know, the coaching staff questioning his desire to be on the field and that type of thing. So I agree that it's really important that we recognize, look, it takes two sides to do a deal. That's extremely important. And if people didn't learn that from the Alshon Jeffrey case a year ago, then I can't help you. You know, I mean, that guy wanted to go to a place where they had their quarterback situation figured out and they could make the playoffs. Okay. He went and made himself a lot of money. Great decision. So there's a lot of things that have to fit with free agency. I would agree with you that Kyle Fuller has earned himself some leverage in those decisions, in that sort of scale of decision making by the way he has played. And if you ask him, he'd want to play better. I mean, Vic Fangio said it, 4 or 5 dropped interceptions this season. That costs you a lot of money on the open market. We'll see how far they go. I'm not so sure that Kyle will be back, but that's one thing. Hey, let's let it play out.
Oh, God.
You're a great partner in this show, Rich. You really are.
Thank you, buddy. Rich, safe travels to Detroit, and come back as soon as you can, I think.
I'm heading to the new hockey arena tonight, Leafs Red Wings. Should be fun.
Oh, that should be great. I've heard great things about that.
You haven't convinced your editors to, you know, send you on a scouting trip to the Bahamas or something this week?
No. You know, the Pro Bowl returning to Hawaii at some point, that's the story I need to work on next, you know?
For you, it's a tough gig. Someone's got to do it.
And I'm sorry about your Baltimore Orioles about to give up on the best player they've had since Cal Ripken. I apologize.
Yeah, if they can get some prospects back for him, then I'll take it. But if Manny comes to Chicago, he ends up coming to the White Sox, people here will love him. He is an awesome defensive player. Super clutch offense. He's 5-tool. He's awesome. He's so good. The O's better clean the White Sox farm system out And I have a feeling they won't because they just don't do things very well.
No, they don't. I love them in that way. Thank you, Rich.
Bye, guys.
That's Rich Campbell from the Tribune on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline.
He knows his team is the sucker at the table. He knows that. Although everything's out there. I wanted to praise the White Sox about something, if we have a minute here, because just sort of a holistic overall thing, Spat Meagle, that the White Sox are doing.
Okay, good. So some hippie praise coming up from Spat. Pat Manley just walked into Shoeless Joe's in Addison. We're going to get NFL picks from him. He's going to hear track 7 of the Mitch album. Yeah. David Cutcliffe's going to join us.
He did not coach Pat at Duke.
Yeah, no, he did not. We got a lot to do, though, so come out and see us. It's our holiday show at Shoeless Joe's. Spiegel and Park, it's on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins on the Score. Be caller 6 to our contest line, 312-591-6700, and you win a $50 gift card to Lover's Lane. This holiday season, shop Lover's Lane for romantic gifts for grown-ups. Pat Manley will join us after the update. We will play track 7 of the Mitch album that got rave reviews. No, seriously. Earlier in the 9 o'clock hour, we will play it for you coming up today at noon.
You know, I think we're going to look back on these couple of days of the massive Manny Machado rumors to the South Side and the excitement level for White Sox fans, Danny, and the opportunity for Rick Hahn to restate what the goals of the organization are to rebrand what the vision is. We're going to look back on that as a real positive for the White Sox. Just excitement level raised, possibilities dreaming big, people who are trying to rush the process kind of shouted down just a little bit, and Rick Hahn and the Sox able to kind of restate exactly what they're doing. And while that's all going on, just a fairly small thing this morning, but it's part and parcel of just the overall process. Tim Raines and Jose Contreras are named ambassadors this morning, joining A.J. Pruszynski, who was named, a couple of days ago, and A.J. was on with Mully and Hanley yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, they've long had a list of guys, whether it's Ron Kittle or Harold Baines, you know, when he's not been working for the organization or whatever, a whole bunch of guys from other vintages. But to add Raines, who's been around, but that's great. Contreras is a really smart one specifically. It harkens back, obviously, directly to 2005, like AJ does. But Contreras, and there's quotes this morning about how he is looking forward to helping any way that he can guys like Abreu as they help Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, and what you have established with this connection to Cuba and to Latin America in general, but very specifically to Cuba. I mean, Contreras, it was helped a lot by El Duque, Orlando Hernandez, right, at the time, and is now looking forward to working with the Sox, paying that forward, and was surprised to get the call from Kenny Williams, apparently, and offered it. I really, the ambassador thing, obviously, it can often be just for PR. We've seen all these different organizations in town do it in so many different ways, but it's very rarely a minus of any kind. But it's smart for the White Sox to tap into this well with Contreras specifically. And just overall, they're an organization headed in a very sensible place right now.
I agree. I think that's a well thought out and well stated position in terms of also like a team like that even if they don't trade for Machado, which they probably won't, and they enter the bidding for him in free agency.
Yeah.
They're not the team that's just going to wow people normally with the $300 million contract, right? It just seems out of character. So like that's why I gave them so much credit for the Luis Robert signing, because it was like, man, that was...
That's what you have to do.
But I remember saying, like, that is the sign of a healthy organization, and a lot of Sox fans were like, that's way too premature to call them a healthy organization, but... When you're able to be like selected, right? When someone chooses you because of comfort level and pipeline and established relationship and scouting, and you get a prize like that, it shows that you've got a plan to figure out creative ways to get talent. And maybe this Contreras move is just another thing in that line.
It's just another way to continue, like, because you're going to have to, as you say, maybe not be the team that throws top dollar and breaks the bank at these guys. You got to keep making yourself appetizing. And right now, that Cuban connection is thriving and expanding it with an ambassador with the stature of Contreras. And the age of Contreras is really smart.
Pat Manley is going to join us for the rest of the show from Shoeless Joe's and after the update. This segment is brought to you by KFC. Get your family the gift of a $20 fill-up from KFC. You put it on the table instead of under the tree, but they'll still love it. KFC, it's finger-licking good. What's up, Pat?
I woke up questionable this morning. A little hungover.
Good for you.
These Christmas seasons seem to get me a little bit. You know, they wouldn't stop pouring that darn red wine in my glass last night.
Yeah, blame them.
Yeah,
good
it
call.
It was their fault.
Yeah.
What's with the holiday party on weeknights?
I don't know. I didn't like it. And my wife said, we're going. And I'm like, I got to go talk to these guys on Friday. And I got home in a decent hour, but they just kept pouring that darn red wine.
There's too many holiday parties. The weeknights, those count as nights as well, guys. I don't know if you know that,
right.
But counts as an opportunity for people to get together and do things.
Well, yeah, but if you want to, you know, cut loose and you got to work the next day.
There was another person there who had to get up, had a meeting with their boss at 8 a.m. I'm like, why are you here? All I have to do is talk to you guys.
Yeah, no.
You were nervous about that. Yeah, man, over that.
That's teammateship right
exactly.
There.
Exactly.
This is why. This is entirely why. All right, so are you on the injury report?
Yeah, questionable.
Okay.
I was, but I'm gonna be able to play.
Have you ever known a teammate to miss a game because of alcohol reasons? Have you ever had
going to rehab? Had to go to rehab?
No, or just
no,
too just too hungover. Just had too rough a week.
No, I it had to be hard to get out and drink, unless you could order it to your room, because you had the security guard watching our hallway. You really can't leave your room, so maybe you could order some from room service
or bring it in your luggage.
Yeah, you could. Well, that's normally for post game on the way home on the flights home.
Got it.
Yeah,
but I mean, not everyone was as responsible as you. We hear these stories. I mean, there were some guys that figured out a way to get around the hotel security.
I'm sure.
Pat, I'm
yeah, there were some. Yes.
I'm going to break that news to you right here.
Yeah, they've changed hotel now, but so I can tell you there was a back door. We stayed on floor 12, and you could go up and down there and escape the security.
Really?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Where? In town? Like
in town.
Home
we stayed
games?
At the Chicago Hilton and Towers. They don't stay there anymore, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was
11 flights of stairs down, and
yes,
you're out of there.
And you're out of there.
Wow.
And you guys are supreme athletes. You can climb those 12
I never
flights.
Did that. I honestly never did that. I know some guys did, but they made it to the game.
It's a good topic for next time Pat Manley does can't do it in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who were the guys who took the stairs to get out from the game?
I do have a good alcohol story, though. There was I used to bring
I'm sure
a bottle for after the game, and we weren't supposed to have it on the plane. So I forgot where we were playing, and we did the airplane check at the stadium before we got on the bus to go to the airplane or whatever. So I'm standing in line. I'm looking and seeing coaches and some of the McCaskies. I'm like, all right, where can I get in lines? When they open up my bag and look, they don't see it. So I wait and I wait and I wait, and I get in the back, and it's me and a coach. I don't want to say which coach it was, but it was years ago, and I'm like, oh, I'm busted. So they open up my bag. I got a big bottle of vodka sitting there, and the coach taps me on the shoulder. He goes, what seat are you in? I was like, oh, thank God.
They don't care. You'd already played in the
right.
game.
Yeah, we were done, yeah.
Yeah, you got 6 days to recover.
And then every postgame thereafter.
He found me.
You and the coach hung out.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was a pleasure to talk to Devin Hester earlier this week and just get the good vibes from him. And just realize what a good place he's in right now. What was he like as a teammate, as a dude? Because he had this perception and this you know, that he was either dim or things came slow for him or whatever. What was it like for you guys to play with him?
You know, we knew we had somebody special. One is just, you know, he's the greatest returner of all time. But he wasn't a guy that I hung out with a whole lot. But we communicated. We talked. We both were in special teams meetings and things like that. But he wasn't – I wouldn't call him a great teammate friend. He was just a great teammate. But he was a good teammate. He just wasn't a guy that I hung out with a lot. But I got to hang out with him. Oh, I think it was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. We did an event here in Chicago, and he came back, and he and I were together. And he was in a great place. It was good to see him and hear him, and hear that, you know, that I didn't ask him because I figured he was already retired. I didn't think about, you know, he wanted to announce your retirement, but he was in a good place. He was very happy. His wife was there, and he just talked about wanting to raise his kids, and he was done, and, you know, he was really happy with his career. And the thing is, too, he was so well-spoken. He told great stories, and he seems a little more polished right now.
Obviously, Dave Tobe gets a ton of credit as being a great special teams coach, but Devin Hester also struck me as the type of guy, and maybe I'm completely off on this, that if he wasn't a Bear, he still would have had that great career. Like, just that natural athleticism and returner and just like that brilliant open field runner. Am I off on that? Like, how much credit is just the natural talent and the natural greatness versus the coaching and the scheme and all that?
I think it's both. Yes, Devin would have been great, but it was a perfect scenario where you had Dave Tobe, because wherever Dave's been, he's always had good returners.
Right.
Is that because they're great athletes, or is it because of Dave? I think it's both. Tyreek Hill is a great returner as well, and he's doing a very great job because of Dave's schemes. Dave is a motivator. He gets guys to want to block for these guys. And then he out-game plans coaches. We saw it with the was it the Johnny Knox return we did against Green Bay?
Yeah,
the teams are now
throw.
The one where he caught the we had
there's the fake.
Oh, the fake
the fake
the
yeah
fake. Fake.
Where he caught it over his shoulder. Now teams are using it, and that's stuff that he came up with. He came up with the squib alert. So on kickoff return, instead of having your linebackers and tight ends in the front row, you still had them, but in the back row you normally had your O linemen, your big guys. Well, teams would start squibbing the ball to Devin. So he said, all right, well, if you're going to squib it, I'm going to put some receivers back there, like Rashee Davis and guys like that. So trying to beg you to kick it to Devin, and sometimes they did, because if you squib the ball to the 20-yard line and Rashee Davis picks it up, you're getting out to the 35. So he changed the game. You know, not both Dave and Devin changed the game by how great they are.
So how was he specifically coached? Like what could you point to and say, like, he did it for him? Because I get that all that scheme stuff makes all the sense in the world, but, like, how do you coach someone who's that naturally gifted?
The one thing was Dave used to make him get out there and just catch punts off the jug machine. And one of it was in the cold weather. Devin, when he first came out, when it was cold, he would come out to practice looking like the kid from Christmas Story. And he's like, you got to get used to this cold weather. You got to be able to play. So he would sit out there and just shoot balls, you know, in the cold weather to get used to catching in the cold weather. And, you know, other than that, as far as scheming, he would just say, here is the play. Catch the ball and go where it's blocked.
Gotcha.
So there wasn't much you could teach him of how to return. I think that's just natural ability. But just getting him used to the cold and getting him used to playing in the cold weather was one thing Dave made sure he did, because it's ball security. You had to have ball security with Devin.
I'm trying to think. All right, so there's the squib and the squib return. So eventually that got turned into a positive. Like, all right, you're going to scheme against us. We'll get an extra 15 yards than what we might ordinarily get. There's the fact that on the punts, even after Devin stopped being, you know, the consistent breakout guy that he was, teams still were punting it out of bounds and giving you 10 or 15 yards on every possession.
Well, that's, you know, you look at, what was the punter's name up at Minnesota? I'll think of it in a second. But he had a hard time directional. He had a hard time directional kicking. So that means when a punter catches the ball, normally they just want to walk right down the middle of the field and kick it as far as they can. Well, these guys now with Devin had to kick it left or right and try to kick it out of bounds. And if they do that and miss, I call it a hook ball, where it looks like it just kind of goes up and bananas back to the middle, and it's a lot less hang time, and Devin would catch that and take advantage of that. But guys weren't able to directionally kick. And the other thing that was hard for him to do was directionally kick in Chicago with the weather. So that affected him even more.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes. Yeah, I heard you guys talking about that. For sure he is. He changed the game. He's the greatest to ever do it. You know, I heard somebody say, well, you know, long snapper should be unblocked. No, he scored points. He changed the game. Like, if he's the best at his position, he's the greatest kick returner ever, he should be in. And he changed the game in one game for us.
Who's the punter? The World of Warcraft? Warcraft?
Yeah.
Chris,
is that who you're talking about?
Yes.
Chris Cluey?
Chris Cluey, there we go.
Yeah Cluey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris gave up a few of them to Devin.
To Devin?
Yeah.
And so, just because he didn't know how to kick it directionally?
It's hard. It's weird. It's amazing to me that all you think about, draw a line right down the middle of the field, and
right.
The punter, all he has to do is walk 1 or 2 yards to the right, and they have a hard time doing that. And he had a hard time doing that.
You special teamers are weird. Like, that's a weird thing to me. Like, you can catch that ball, you could kick it 60 yards in the air or whatever, but 2 steps to your right in your entire game.
It's
like golf, I guess.
The ball is shaped really strangely, isn't it? Like,
it
flies. It is difficult to predict the way that thing's going to go off your foot.
And you've talked to punters. They talk about the drop. The drop is the most important thing, from when it goes from their hand to their foot. That if it moves an inch, a centimeter, or whatever, it's going to hit your foot incorrectly, and that can cause it to go left or right, hit that banana hook ball or whatever you want to call it.
While we're talking about it, the last time the Bears played the Lions, Connor Barth had a chance to kick a game winner, and he hit the ground first.
Yeah.
Is that ever advisable on a kick of any kind?
Or golf or anything.
Well, I mean, sometimes I guess if you're in a sand trap, but if you've got a foot and you're trying to kick a ball on a football field, should you ever hit the ground first?
No, that was unfortunate, because you knew that was going to make or break him. Whether he was gonna, if he made it,
so
he was going to stay. If he missed it, he missed it terribly.
How often does that happen, though, that somebody hits the ground first?
I think nerves get into it a little bit.
Oh.
I don't see it happen a lot, but I think it's that situation. It's a heavy situation for him, and he, you know, I guess you call it choked.
Are you, do you normally pick games against the spread?
I don't, but I'm ready to try.
All right, good.
No.
because our celebrities are basically tied
okay.
for the lead.
Okay.
With Joe Ostrowski, who's a semi-professional.
All right,
gambler.
Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe's good. I'm not good. I'm desperately not good.
I think it comes from not doing any research.
It's probably part of it.
But that normally helps, right?
well, that's the idea with what exactly. you guys are going to do.
That was my theory going into it.
So we're going to talk about the big NFL storylines because we'll have Pat pick the big games. He's going to listen to track 7 of the Mitch album at noon. David Cutcliffe's going to join us at 12:20. We got over-unders to end the show. We're Spiegel and Parkins with Pat Manley, live from Shoeless Joe's and Addison on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Pat Manley, the ultimate team player.
You know it.
Even hungover.
Yeah.
It's impressive stuff.
So when do you start drinking again to get over that?
I don't know. Equis.
I got to ask. Yeah, when can we? Yeah, maybe 12 after transition. I heard I get to do transition today.
You do get to do transition
yes.
today. You get to stick around and talk to Bernsey. And Goff.
He just walked in.
That's true. He did. He's punctual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am, in true holiday fashion, you got to skip out on work early.
Of course.
Before the holidays.
You got to go to your holiday party.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm leaving after David Cutcliffe. I have to just thank him on the air for turning down the Tennessee job.
That's what I hopefully bring that up. Me too. I mean, that's for him to stay at Duke, I mean, he's changed that whole place. And I am going to give him a big thank you when he comes on because – you know, it is a basketball school, but
it
if
is.
You go down there and you see the stadium and what he's done for that football program and the guys, it's all because of him. It's really amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's you know, 5 bowl games in the last 6 years. I don't think Duke's been to 5 bowl games overall. You know, he's really changed everything down there.
Well, now that we've talked about something sad like Duke football, let's pick some games.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
All right. We always have our celebrities pick games. You are
a celebrity?
Kind of. I mean, it's the furthest down
okay.
we've gone.
Okay.
It's
I had to be honest.
This is not the furthest down we've gone, is it?
I mean,
this guy played 16 years in the
yeah,
NFL.
Yeah, but I was only a long snapper.
As a long snapper.
Yes. It's so?
I mean,
he's bigger than John Vincent.
Okay, that's true.
Maybe not.
Who's John Vincent?
He's the anthem singer at Cubs games.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
Yeah,
nice
you're,
a bit,
yeah you're more well-known than John Vincent. All right.
All right, let's do this.
Vincent was great, though, so you'll have lots of measure up to. All right. Green Bay at Carolina. Panthers are a 3-point favorite. Who do you have and why? Pat Manley.
Oh, is Greg Olsen playing?
It's a good question.
It's a great
I don't
question.
Know.
I'm still going to go
with the Panthers just because their defense is darn good. I don't see Aaron Rodgers going out there and pulling out the stunt of what he's been out 8 weeks and pulling out the upset. I just don't see it happening. So I got Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers.
He is expected to play on Sunday. It's
okay.
Greg Olsen.
All right. Former teammate. I'm going to choose all my former teammates if they're on any of these teams that we're going to go with.
All right.
That's why.
There were reports that Aaron Rodgers was throwing 65-yard passes in practice.
Good for him.
For whatever that's worth. That is strong collarbone if you can throw
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All right. Game of the week. New England -3 at Pittsburgh. Who does Pat Manley have?
That New England game was fun to watch with Jay Cutler tearing him up last week.
Oh,
but
speaking of former teammates.
I'm going to go with Todd Haley and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just think they're too strong. I normally the Patriots bounce back from games like that, but I just don't see it happen. I think the Pittsburgh's going to continue rolling.
That seems to be the only logic on the Patriots' side is like, oh, they
yeah.
don't lose twice in a row.
Yeah,
is that enough? Is that enough for you, Danny?
Yeah, it is.
And it's at Pittsburgh, correct?
It's at, yeah. yeah, at Pittsburgh, where Roethlisberger's
yes.
amazing
yes.
and all of that stuff. But, I mean, that game could be played into the 40s or 50s, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know that
I can't wait to watch it. That should be a really good game.
Yeah, I don't know that either team stops the other one. What's your Todd Haley connection?
He was the wide receivers coach with the Bears.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
when you were there.
Yes.
Todd Haley. He's kind of a crazy person.
Yes. He used to come get Ephedra pills from my locker. Back when it was legal.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who were the what era of receivers? I'm trying to remember when Haley was here. Was it Marty Booker times?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was, right?
Yep.
Did players respect him?
Bobby Ingram?
Yes.
Bobby
yes.
Ingram here for Todd
yeah,
Haley?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Marcus
some,
Robinson, I believe. I believe that whole slew of guys.
He had some problems with that in Kansas City because of just barking at guys but never having played the game, but his dad was the coach. He could be a little insane.
Yeah, there's a story of Mike Brown when he went over there to Kansas City. Was they were in stretch lines, and Mike started calling him out about all that stuff, and he had to call Mike Brown into his office and say, "Hey, man, just come on, keep that quiet. We don't need to let everybody know all that stuff."
Wow, yeah.
What was he telling people?
You've never played before, and all that stuff.
Just okay,
he was just to him, he was still Todd Haley, the wide receivers coach.
Right,
so,
of course,
he's like, not the head man.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
Right.
I'm the head coach. People got to respect me.
Yeah,
keep that low.
No, but to go back real quick about Todd Haley, we respected him because there are certain coaches you can see that are going to climb that ladder. And yeah. he had that talent. He had that ability.
Yeah, it's interesting. You think he might get another shot as a head coach.
I think he should get another shot.
But he's excellent at what he does, you know, running the offense now. So
yeah, but he landed in such a perfect situation.
Yes, he did.
His family history was with the Steelers franchise, right, with his dad, and then he's got Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and an established head coach, so he doesn't have to do a lot of the culture
Antonio
stuff.
Antonio Brown is unreal.
He's insane. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. I mean, you throw contested balls, and what is he, 6 foot tall?
Yeah, like 5'11".
And he
yeah.
still comes down with them. I don't understand it. He's unreal.
It feels like guys like Julio should be clear-cut the number one, right, with all the physical tools, but it's clearly Antonio.
If I had to choose one batch of athletes in all of sports, I mean, NFL wide receivers, for what they do with their feet, what they do with their brains, and let alone, of course, the hands and everything, it's a crazy skill set.
They're just their body when they're in the air, how they can contort themselves. They're impressive. Yeah, they might be the most athletic guys on the team.
All right, Bears at Lions. Lions -5. You don't have to recuse yourself because of your pregame duties, do you?
No, I don't have pregame duties this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tomorrow's
Saturday
college
game,
basketball.
Yeah. College basketball, that's right.
I'm going to go with the Bears. I really think they might have a chance. That doesn't make sense. I really think they do have a chance. I think Detroit is beatable. Matt Stafford threw two interceptions last week. I think he can throw the ball. He tries to force it in tight windows. Kyle Fuller is due to get some more interceptions, and I think this is his game. He's had a pretty darn good year. I told him the other day he was going to get two of them. So I think he'll get two interceptions, and the Bears are going
to
win.
You talked to Fuller. Was he on your show?
Yes. Yeah. He'll be on tonight and tomorrow. I think whenever we do it. The Chicago Huddle. He was great. He was very, very good.
Let's talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. I've been trying to figure out if Kyle Fuller even wants to be here. You know what I mean? Like whether if it's up to him, does an extension get done? Because it's been a bumpy ride, obviously.
Yeah, it has been, but... You know, it's. I've heard you guys talk about it. It's going to be the market. Just go out to the market. Hopefully the market's low, and I would try to re-sign him if I'm the Bears.
David Cutcliffe from Duke will join us at 12:20. We're at Shoeless Joe's in Addison. We will talk Kyle Fuller a little bit more. But coming up next, we will play all of you, Pat Manley, and our Score hip-hop expert, who will be giving us a live review on the air after it plays. Track 7 of the Mitch album, coming up next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.